Yeah, buddy. Welcome back in. Happy Friday to you. Matt Verzal very graciously joined for more radio by Aaron Taylor. Hanging out with me here, getting through to you guys. One that hit close to home in the 1620 of the Zone Equitable Bank inbox. I say his first name wrong all the time. His last name's Todd. It's M-I-K-I-E.
Oh, Mikey?
Are we going Mikey or am I going Mickey?
I go Mikey.
But anyway, says throwing 50-pound bags of seeds against my uncle on the farm, trying to carry two like my pops, golfing against my grandpa, squaring up on the mat, being the first to the door. You get that look in your eye and you can zero in. Competition is a wonderful thing, isn't it? That's one of the pieces that we talk a lot about with Nebraska and what's been going on. But to have that back in the mix, right, have those things back in there. Because you could tell, you know, we talk about it, the quarterback position, and it was kind of a funny thing. For 8 years, we were concerned, like, oh, man, all right, we know Taylor Martinez is going to be the starting quarterback. We know Armstrong is going to be the starting quarterback. But there was still apprehension in it. Like, why isn't there somebody pushing them? We know Adrian Martinez is going to be the quarterback starting spring, but now there's guys and they're competing with him, and you're like, all right, this is awesome.
Right. You know, and you know that Noah's a capable backup, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got that. You've got McCaffrey that's in there. That's, I think, a special athlete. I'll be curious to see what happens with him. But, you know, it feels good to have that competition. You know, Adrian's a guy.
Well, there's more coming.
But right, and there's more coming. Smothers is a pretty legit guy,
right?
Man.
He's fast.
Well, yeah, and so it's awesome. What I like about it is Adrian's not scared, right? He knows. It's like, you don't hear him complaining that day. They're bringing in this or they're recruiting that. You know, you see that quote from Chenander, hey, we're out looking for guys
that
to replace
awesome.
You. It's your job to show them that they're not going to be able to.
Yep.
Now,
I hate to get caught in quote season two, but that was a good one.
Yeah,
I was like, man, that's a good one.
But it's so true, mm-hmm. right? Because as we went through our playing years, I knew that I wasn't going to beat out Brendan Stye.
Right.
But it was his responsibility and his duty, if you will, to make me better, or Joe mm-hmm. Wilkes to make me better. It was my duty to make Russ Hochstein or Dominic Raiola better.
Right.
And so that's what you did. I was fine with them being great athletes and coming. I knew they weren't going to beat me out, but I was making sure they were good.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way Adrian approaches this whole thing, too. But that's what you got
to
do.
Not to be that guy, or am I making no correlation to Adrian Martinez and me, but when they were going to move you, I said, okay, this sucks because it's good.
But you were a big development in me becoming who I was
right.
at center.
But right? I knew I had to help you. I wasn't going to be an ass and be like, oh, screw you, bud. Right. I knew if I could teach you little tricks, hey, this happens
this,
here,
do
that
this,
goes
do this.
There, right.
We were all in it together.
I know.
Right, and that's the whole deal. One of the things I liked was last year when Adrian was hurt. You know, he was cheering on his guys.
Yeah.
Right, and it's not fake.
And
right?
You hadn't seen it in so long.
Right, and so that's what we did, man. When backups were in, you were happy for them.
Right.
Right, and that's what... So the question was downstairs, what's the biggest takeaway you get from the spring? To me, it was a culture, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't one individual
I'm
player,
100%
those kind of things. You're starting to see that kind of develop and start becoming self-policing. Man, that's fun to see because then it becomes fun for the players.
Yes.
When it becomes fun for the players, it gives the opportunities for the coaches to back off a little bit, concentrate on some other things,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of oversee. Or as Jared Lambrick said, verify.
Right. And when you get that shift in power, right, I don't think those guys ever came in super heavy-handed. It was probably a lot of Lee Trevino, Happy Gilmore type stuff where the guys are doing stuff that are standing in the background shaking their head left, right, like, no, don't do that. So now you're into the self-policing, but you can also, the policing is the side we always look at, but you can also be joyful or happy for your teammate, right?
Absolutely.
Because that, when you get those games under control early that you should, now you get your backup guys and they're getting live bullets. I got thrown in at Texas Tech in that game. I was like, oh, this is awesome. And it's still, the game still matters. Like, what?
Right.
Holy, what's going on here? I got in, did my best, got done. Uncle Milt said, hey, nice job.
Good job.
Like, thanks, buddy.
Yeah. And it wasn't a, you know, it's,
You know what I remember most from that, though, real quick? When I got in the huddle, the other two old guys looked at me like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, got it.
And having belief in you.
Yes.
Right? That's the whole thing, is they trust and believed in you. And that was the thing. It wasn't that they weren't hard at some points in time, or very honest, which is what we became.
Yeah.
But they believed in you.
But, and see, this is like this is what successful organizations do, right? Nick leaving the show and saying, hey, Verse, take it. Normally I'm like, oh, Jesus. I'm like, are you sure, dude? Like, you get somebody else to sit over there. But you do it a couple times, you figure it out, and you go. Even in life where you work, that organization has to be built on trust. It's got to be built on open flow of information. If you can't do that, then it's going to fail. And that's just what happens. Like, these, it's the part you don't realize till later, is the life lessons you're learning. Like, hey, this is like what's up. Like, this is what happened.
And what these guys are going through right now with this transition with Frost and getting everything implemented, man, this is life changing for them.
Oh, yeah.
And they kind of know it. You know, it's in the back of their head, but it's way deep. And so they're just focused on, hey, what do I got to do next hour?
Yep. I don't talk about it much. On the recruiting front, okay? You got after the baseball coach a little bit for a couple local kids that it didn't work out for whatever reason. Do you see the focus being able to scholarship more Nebraska kids coming into play once everything settles down? Me personally, I think they have to fill it up a little more, and then their developmental side can take on where your Steve Ott's get a chance, your Eric Andersons, you know, who are a little off the radar, are going to start to get scholarship. Or do you think it's a deal right now? We're like, yep, he fits it, take him, and away we go. It's tough.
You know, baseball's different. Mm-hmm. Let me first off say that Erstad's my guy.
I know.
Right.
He hit a ball into your truck bed. I've told that story in the story.
We loved it.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you and I would go
bring back the buck.
Yeah. Bring back the buck. You, myself, and Brandy.
Yeah. Sit in your red truck.
Yeah. Sit in the truck and watch baseball.
Awesome.
I'm a big Erstad fan. I guess the thing that bothers me, and it was at that time, and in conjunction with the football team too, is, man, why are these Nebraska guys all going?
Right.
And it's not just the onesies and twosies that are just going to happen. It's, why are kids going to Arkansas? Why are they going to A&M? I get it in baseball. It's tough. These guys weren't able to play outside until, you know, whatever date it was. I understand all that. But, man, you got to do what you can.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't hear from them, when the Nebraska kids don't even hear from them, that's tough. And that's where I got a little bit butthurt.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You got at it a little bit.
And I don't even like baseball.
I know.
That's the whole thing. It's a good hobby.
We used to do it for entertainment because we were watching our boy Ersty and the fellas, Power Surge out there doing their thing.
We're going to put a homer over your truck.
Oh, yeah.
And he did.
Oh, no. He pulled one. So the fans of the old Buck, Taylor and I would, and his wife at the time, would sit out in left field. Left field. Yeah. We'd pull over the curb and we would sit out there. So Erstad's up and there weren't very many people at the game, but Ersty pulls one out of the park, goes to right field.
Yeah.
So he's rounding second base, and I stood up and I was like, anybody can pull one out. What you doing opposite field?
Yes, you did.
And if you've ever known Darren Erstad, the glare he can give you, the literally mile-away glare will pierce into your soul. And I have a loud voice that carries very well for the guy that told me I talk like I got marbles in my mouth to open my mouth more. Okay, Chief, I'm chewing right now.
My wife says the same thing.
About me?
So you know,
I talk fast. I get excited.
You do. That's true.
So he looks at me at second base and almost kind of acknowledges, like, okay, fatty, you ready? Next time at bat, hit one oppo and jogged around the bases and stared at us.
Yes,
and
he did.
Landed in the bed of your truck.
I'm true like, story.
This is the most amazing thing I've ever been a part of. Yeah.
Guy so was great. Amazing. But yeah, so that's where I got a little bit butthurt on that whole thing was, you know, the Nebraska kids, and I talked about a little bit earlier with the walk-ons and all that kind of stuff. You can't leave out the Nebraska kids.
No.
You can't. And so, again, baseball's different. I'm not real good on talking about the recruiting because that is way different, man. That's crazy different. But
baseball's nuts.
But you gotta do what you can because
here's
the thing, right? Is you get a kid from Grand Island, Nebraska, to come into your program. you're not just getting that kid and his family that's going to be watching that kid for 4 to 5 years. You're getting the community.
Yeah, the whole
right?
community.
You're getting the Brian Shaw from, Sandy Creek, mm-hmm. right? Sandy Creek, the community, is going to be watching the game because they want to see Brian Shaw make seven
right.
tackles.
Terry Keneally, right? Hyannis.
Terry Keneally, Hyannis. So, yep. So you're not just getting the family and the you know, the 7, 8 family members or the 15, whatever it is with you Catholics around here.
All 47 Makavikas.
Right.
So, you know, Brainerd just shuts down.
Yeah. You get that whole community. And to me, whenever I came up here, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And that was awesome because they're talking about guys that are current and older. And it was awesome to see.
Was that when you came up to Nebraska, was that what it was? Or were you just kind of enthralled by like, oh, okay, Milt's giving me the run and Coach Young's telling me what I can be? And then you got there. How much of who's your host?
Saltzman.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I forgot about Scotty temporarily. forgot about the Rider High connection.
Rojo, baby.
Right on honorable wounds.
We got a good quarterback coming out of there.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You been down to Wichita Falls lately?
Yeah, I went last...
Big Wayne and Deer Mobile now. They're all RV life.
All RV. You know, Dad's recovering from the West Nile. He got up here. He's doing good.
Yeah. He didn't get that here, did he?
Yeah. He got it here, so they wintered up here.
Oh,
they wintered up here.
It was a bad winter.
They weren't happy.
That wasn't a good winter.
Come December, Mom and Dad were cabin fever, grumpy. It's like, and you know, they're getting older too, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's that grumpy old person, and it's like, just because you're old doesn't give you the right to say that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's like old people honesty.
Fair. When you got here, what was the point where you said, like, yep, I'm coming here?
I would say whenever I sat down with Coach Tenneper right before I went into Coach Osborne's office on Sunday morning, and you know, for me it was and I went out to the house party with you on Friday night, that kind of stuff. We had Olgard and Micus, and
yeah,
it was interesting. Oh, yeah. But you know it, what it was for me, you know, with the program, and again, I wasn't highly recruited like some of the guys, but. Man, it just felt like family, right? And that's what you hear from some of the recruits today,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is awesome to hear because that's what it's really all about, man. It's not to me, the wins and losses, championships are all great. But the times that I remember, and don't get me wrong, I can remember 94, 95, 97, the sights and sounds and smells of specific plays.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all great. But my memories are... locker room,
mm-hmm.
not practice, but
dominoes.
Going to practice, after practice, training tables, strength over people's houses. It was the relationships that you developed, the brotherhood that's still to this day, right?
So snack time at the
hotel. I mean, it was all, you know, the morning wake ups on Saturday. So it's all of that stuff that you really take away and you remember and becomes that brotherhood. And that's what you hear those guys talking about mm-hmm. now, right? You don't really hear it talking, you know, previous years. So, yeah, man. So whenever I knew I was coming was whenever I saw the family atmosphere and I went and met with Coach Tenneper and Coach Osborne and just felt the honesty.
Yep.
There wasn't a, you're the greatest, you're coming, you know, that kind of stuff. It was, we would love to have you.
And it's you. We can fall into rhythm. Of being idiots in a matter of seconds. You're back to it, playing dominoes. I'm trying to get like a card, like if any of the old boys want to come over and just play some cards, play Zons on a Tuesday night.
Cards,
I got decks
spades,
of cards.
Dominoes.
Right? It was fun. But that's what we did. Adam True taking his mattress off of his bed to walk down to Corey Mikes' room because they weren't in the same room.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just weird stuff like that. But we're going to pay some bills here. We'll come back, keep hanging out with AT here. A little more game time when we return on 1620 The Zone, 1620 The Zone app, and 1620thezone.com.